This episode brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever find yourself playing the budgeting game? Shifting a little money here, a little there, and hoping it all works out? Well, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive, you can get a better budgeter and potentially lower your insurance bill too. You tell Progressive what you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll help find you options within your budget. Try it today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Not available in all states.
Hey, Lonzo Ball, it's your agent.
What's up?
I've got a commercial opportunity for you from Buzzballs Ready to Go Cocktails.
Nice. My last name is Ball. The product is a cocktail in a ball. I get it.
That's what I thought too, but no. They want you for your hands. They think your big hands will show off the size of their new Blue Biggies ball.
Big Blue Balls? Really?
Get Blue Balls this season with Buzzballs.
Please drink responsibly. Buzzballs available in spirit, wine, and malt. 15% alcohol by volume. Buzzballs LLC, Carrollton, Texas.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
I love this guy. Let's go, bro.
Right hand jam to tie the game. OG Anunoby.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Left side Gordon for the win.
Yeah! Brown left wing. Stripped by Bridges. Hangs onto it. Took it away. And the New York Knicks stun the Celtics.
Today's guests, ESPN senior writer Dan Wetzel, Bills general manager Brandon Bean, senior writer for the MMQB, Albert Breer, and now it's Rich Eisen.
That's right, everybody. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show, live on the Roku Sports Channel, live on this terrestrial radio affiliate smart enough to have us on the Infinity Sports Network. We're live on Sirius XM Channel 375, the Odyssey app. You can stream us live every day for your ear gate. And of course, you're streaming us live right now, watching us on the Roku Sports Channel. And I'm smiling. That would be weird to start the show that way every single day. But, you know, this day in particular, it's kind of one of those days. It's one of those days where, you know, I turn to Chris Brockman and I start the program and ask how he's doing. How you doing over there, Chris? You good?
I mean, I've been better, to be honest. But look, anytime you can celebrate getting a win when it literally takes the worst shooting night in NBA history, hey, you got to do it.
I don't understand.
You got to do it.
TJ, do you understand?
It literally took an act of God for you to win that game.
Do you understand?
So just,
the heat?
You know, soak it in.
What's the heat? I'm just saying hello.
Who told them that they had to take that many threes yesterday?
I'm just saying hello.
Can we just get right into it?
I'm just engaging.
Like, I'm so hot. Let's just get right into it.
I haven't said hello to Mike Del Tufo yet.
Nobody cares how Mike is doing.
How are you, Mike?
Let's just get right to the good stuff.
Actually, there is.
Even when you lose, I win.
There's actually a drop that says nobody cares. Cares about him, actually, that does exist in our, but you know, I'm just saying hello to you,
man,
to see how you're doing, which I do every day.
Every
and today
day.
You're taking it differently.
I'm not doing great.
And I'm wondering why.
I'm not doing great. Actually, I'm just kidding. I'm doing fine.
Excellent. Isn't that great?
I'm totally fine.
Isn't that awesome? I just don't understand, you know, the
hostility.
The hostility.
Yeah.
You know?
It's cracking.
It's almost as if there was a miscommunication here or something a bit off or clanking somewhere or chipping the side of a backboard or
something.
It's like
something. The point's being missed over and over and
wondering
over.
It's like, in White Man Can't Jump when Woody Harrelson's like, what is this, a Masonry's convention?
Actually, at one point, it looked more like Along Came Polly, to be honest with you, if you want to do some sort of an analogy. You know? I was thinking Spice Adams was going to hoist one.
I can feel it. Shout out to Philip Seymour Hoffman.
I mean, you got to be creative
Club
to,
7-2-3,
miss,
TJ,
to miss 45 three-pointers.
Why are you taking that many? That don't make no sense.
Actually, it took 60.
I know.
Actually, at one point in the fourth quarter, between just under the six-minute mark and just under the three-and-a-half-minute mark, Jalen Brunson made as many three-pointers as the Celtics did after halftime. Three. And listen, it's we're marathoning. We're not sprinting. I understand that, but that last night for New York Knicks fans who enjoyed the regular season, 51 wins, back-to-back 50-win seasons, and even some New York Knicks fans who were lamenting the Karl Anthony Towns acquisition. And at one point with Karl Anthony Towns chilling on the bench with three first-half fouls and then struggling to make his mark in the second half against the Celtics team that is missing Kristaps Porzingis, who was drafted by the Knicks in the same draft in which Karl Anthony Towns was taken number one overall. You know, there were some lamenting for Julius Randle and Dante DiVincenzo. For that team that and that fan base that watched the Celtics rein in 84 threes on the Knicks in sweeping them 4-0, kicking their teeth in this entire regular season. Last night was a lot of fun. A heck of a lot of fun. And I'd be honest with you, I showed massive amounts of restraint in the text chain last night. I didn't send a thing.
I was thought my phone had gotten cut off or something.
I was a church mouse last night.
I could hear a mouse peeing on cotton. It was so quiet.
Listen to you with that analogy. Yeah. It's vivid.
What were you going to say, though? I mean, like I said,
I don't know.
Literally took the worst outside shooting performance in NBA history to win the game. Like the Celtics, hold on, the Celtics shot, let me just look at the numbers, 25%. Mm. If they shot 26%, you lost. So, like, how are you feeling good today?
I don't know.
So disrespectful.
I'm looking at the result, and I'm a results-oriented guy.
I've heard that about you.
You know, and it's a Knicks-Celtics situation. I'm a results-oriented guy. Hey,
I didn't watch. I didn't watch much basketball this year, but did they change the rules? Is it a one-game series now for the second round?
No, it's not.
Oh, interesting.
No, it's definitely not. But they didn't change the rules where one team has more points than the other wins.
Cool.
And that happened last night.
Like the New York tradition of celebrating and, April victories and, and May victories. Soak this in, buddy. I mean, congrats.
What's wrong with you, man?
What's wrong with me?
Congrats.
Hey, I was just looking at the... Oh, I love that photo.
Raise the banner.
I mean, that photo right there where OG Anunoby
is the banner.
It's basically like this is the basketball equivalent of what Shaq once asked Kobe what something tastes like.
Kobe, brother, tell me how my dog tastes.
Can we play back this segment in like 6 weeks?
But make it sports.
When there's a parade in Boston.
It did look very Baroque. You know, it was Baroque last night was the three-point shooting the of Celtics the jumpers. Boston Celtics.
Ballin'!
It was bad.
Come on, man. I'm having my fun here.
Look,
I didn't have it on the Texas
game. You won a game. Good.
We didn't just win any game. As a matter of fact,
you won a game you had to win.
As a matter of
which
fact,
is big.
As a matter of fact, the Knicks have not won a road game one in the second round of the playoffs. I know that's a very small subset. Since the Van Gundy era, it's been a long time, man. Oof. Been away a long time. And Jalen Brunson and OG Anunoby got it done. And Josh Hart does all the dirty work. Bridges didn't have a great shooting night, but came up with the big finish, making sure Jalen Brown didn't take a three-point shot. He only made one of 10 anyway.
Yeah, it wasn't going in even if he got it up.
You know, so we'll see what happens moving on. But that was beyond satisfying as a New York Knicks guy who is back in the fold thanks to Jalen Brunson, who is just as clutch as it comes and is just dynamite as it comes. But so that's just one game. We'll see what they do the rest of the way. In the rest of the NBA playoffs, larger picture, I did mention that that Julius Randle, Dante DiVincenzo acquisition by the Minnesota Timberwolves. And tonight, that duo, in a surprise home court advantage in the second round for a six seed. That's kind of rare. But they are attempting to become the first home team to win in round number two. As we all know, the Pacers started things off against the injured, banged up Cavs by drawing blood in round 2, game one of that series. And the Knicks won on the road last night. Mm-hmm. And the Nuggets down 10 with about 8 minutes to go shocked the Oklahoma City Thunder. And Chet Holmgren had a shot to put the team up by 3 from the line with less than 10 seconds to go. Missed both free throws. The second free throw that he missed, it was like, did you see Russell Westbrook just took off down the court to try and, you know, run a fast break, and nobody got the rebound. I think Christian Brown had to come and grab it. Yeah. And then did start found Russ, who found Aaron Gordon, who shot the game-winning 3 over Chet Holmgren, who had a rough fourth quarter. And this photograph will show you that in the long run, in the end, the 68-win Oklahoma City Thunder, in their first home game in the second round of these playoffs, their most impressive achievement was getting everybody to wear the same shirt. And that's impressive.
Right.
By the way, as a Philly fan, a Knicks fan, and a Celtic fan all in the room, if you told people in Boston and Philadelphia and New York, hey, you got to wear the same thing tonight. we'll put the shirt on the back of the chair, and everybody's going to wear it. That's by the way, that's connectivity. I didn't think it really ever existed.
I think the Knicks fans would do it.
Sixers fans.
Dude.
Not in the front row.
A Knicks fan in the front row wore an Alonzo away jersey the other day, which we covered over and over again last week.
He didn't have an option of a shirt hanging on the seat, though.
But congrats to the Nuggets, who are showing, you know, by the way, in that series, if the Nuggets win this one, it would lend beyond credence to the fact that Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is not the MVP of the league. The guy who went 40-20 last night is the MVP of the league and just isn't the MVP of the league because everybody's tired of making him such. So, there you go. The Thunder lose a shocker. The Knicks take a shocking W, down 20, which is 25 points fewer than the number of threes the Celtics missed last night. And the Pacers draw first blood, too. Dare I say, anybody can win the NBA championship from here on out.
I don't think that's
anybody
true.
Can win it. And I know that's saying a lot.
The NBA odds didn't even move yesterday.
There is a reason why some teams that go up 3-1 in a series wins 90% of the time, because you still have to marathon it. You can't sprint it. The number of times that a game one goes one way and it's the exact opposite in game two and then the exact opposite in game three, we've lost track. Cavs are banged up. Yep. Your C's aren't very healthy either. I don't know what's going on with Porzingis. It seemed like it was freaking me out.
It seemed like it was an illness, not anything physically.
But not the illness that kept him out for a month.
Unclear. He kind of left, and the reports were like, well, Porzingis is not on the bench. I didn't see him go to the locker room, and then he never returned.
And it was a quick he's not coming back.
Right.
Not like he's getting fluids or
right.
It's not like one of those things where he's coming off of, you know, COVID or a flu, whatever, and he needs IV bags or
anything
like that.
And I think that really affected the game plan, obviously. You had no one to run the rim. You had no inside post presence. And what happens is, as a result, you get 63 point attempts, which is absolutely insane.
Well,
I mean, one dribble, two steps.
It was 15 for 60. I don't want to give you the, you know, you got to.
What do you mean?
Don't want to make it as bad as it was. It was 15 or 60.
It was 25%. I think Del Tufo could go do that right now.
Okay.
I might be able to.
Hey.
I'm not going to lie.
And we'll see. The Timberwolves can win it. Nuggets can win it. Oklahoma City can win it. Your Celtics can win it.
The odds don't reflect that. I mean, the odds are still heavily Oklahoma City and Boston. And I think that's going to end up what we're going to get in the finals. You know, just it's going to take one extra game to get there.
Okay. One extra game.
All the home teams lost and the odds didn't change at all.
Didn't change at all.
Oh, that's weird.
I don't know, man. My eyes see. Yeah. You know, Russell Westbrook playing out of his skull and Jamal Murray doing Jamal Murray things more often than he did consistently in the regular season. Jokic doing what he's doing. Ant-Man taking center stage tonight against a Warriors team that's going to be one hell of a tough out. And they can go on a run and win it.
I mean, the Pacers took game one, and they have the worst odds to win the title.
I don't understand that.
30-1.
I don't get it. Other than the fact that nobody, I don't know. They play just as consistently with John Halliburton, not there.
I mean, the Nuggets are 15-1 to win the title. I mean, great value, but in terms of people thinking that they can win it.
Who are the people?
Yeah, I mean, I never know who these people are.
The desert people who know everything.
Okay.
They can't know everything.
No.
The desert people.
The desert
people. I don't think they've ever been wrong.
See, that alone just sounds a little weird.
Jokic just took game one on the road. Everybody's wearing the same T-shirt. And Jokic goes 42-22-6. Okay. And by the way, is he the interim coach too?
Seems like
he is emoting in the huddle in a way I haven't seen him.
Yeah.
Okay. And he's like taking over the huddle. He's doing things we haven't seen. Right? Who else? You've got the Knicks taking game one. You got a championship team in the Nuggets. You got a championship team in the Celtics. You got the Cavs having the most. By the way, the three teams with the most regulars. Maybe this is why the odds haven't changed. The three teams with the three best records still remaining all lost. Yeah. They all lost.
The teams that all won 60 plus this year all lost.
Yeah. Whew. A lot of good that did in game one. It's a way to go. Man, that was a heck of a lot of fun. I was flying high until Devin Williams took the bump. At any rate, but that's for another day.
Yeah, thanks for that. I have Rodon in fantasy. Nice blown win there.
Oh, yeah, it's my fault.
It's definitely your fault.
Okay. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Breer's going to call us an hour number, Zoom with us in hour three. Brandon Bean's going to Zoom with us, the Buffalo Bills general manager, in hour number two. So we got a little football on the brain. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. We got a fun, if you will, call to action today for people to chime in and chit-chat with us. You want to unveil what that is, Chris, right away?
Oh, so I was thinking about this. We're looking at this day in history. So on this date in 1954, mm-hmm. long time ago, even TJ wasn't born yet.
61 years ago.
Considering both of them are older than me.
71 years ago.
71
Rich,
years ago.
Roger Bannister became the first person to ever run 71. A sub 4-minute mile. Woo. A huge mark in track and field in that world in Oxford, England. What is something in sports you would like to see done for the first time?
Okay. Excellent. Well, it's kind of crazy because one was already done last night. So I wanted to see 45 threes. So scratch that one off the list. Hold on a minute.
This guy.
Scratch that one.
Chris, it's your boy.
We're not friends.
That's your boy.
You know, people always ask, are you guys friends outside of work?
Nope.
No. The answer is no.
Hey,
we're not friends.
You guys represent the same smart tech. That's your boy.
But that's an interesting question. It's an interesting question.
Smart tech.
My bad. I was off on that. Only 44 more to go. All right. We'll take a break. When we come back.
Is this your boy?
The man who broke. Listen, and I can take news I don't want to hear. And delve into it.
I don't know if you can, though.
I can.
I mean, you're very defensive about this particular type of news.
Well, yeah. But
our text chain.
I could have easily turned down the opportunity to have Dan Wetzel on the program. As a matter of fact, we reached out to him.
Yeah.
To see what
you're a professional.
Love his insight.
Is his picture nicer and better since he went to ESPN?
I mean, that's what happens. You get
look
a glow
at him.
Up.
When he's
you get
all clean.
You go to the full letter, you get a glow up, man.
Even the safest drivers still encounter unsafe conditions, so it's important they do it in a safe vehicle. And Hyundai's offer available Class Executive Advanced Safety features to help keep you protected against the many challenges the road throws your way. Basically, in a Hyundai, you can drive as safely as possible and enjoy your journey in confidence and style. When you change lanes, signal, check for traffic, and enjoy the added safety of Hyundai's available Blind Spot View Monitor. constantly scan for dangers, and take advantage of Hyundai's standard forward collision avoidance assist to help prevent accidents by alerting you of imminent collisions and automatically applying the brakes. Stay alert at all times and be thankful that Hyundai's standard driver attention warning system monitors your attention levels and can bring your focus back on the road. Safety is all about making the right decisions on the road and when selecting a vehicle. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for details. Okay, this is not a drill. Get ready, because Mission Impossible, The Final Reckoning, hits theaters May 23rd, and I'm counting down the days. This is it. The biggest practical action movie ever made. Tom Cruise and director Christopher McQuarrie are back, pushing the limits of what action cinema can do. We're talking real stunts, real danger, and real edge-of-your-seat intensity, all shot in jaw-dropping locations around the world. Did you see that trailer? Tom Cruise free-falling through fire, Haley Atwell back in action, and the whole crew reunited. Ving Rhames, Simon Pegg, Isai Morales. It's like the ultimate global team-up. This franchise started almost 30 years ago, and it just keeps getting better. Mission is more than a movie. It's a high-stakes ride built on loyalty, friendship, sacrifice, and seriously gutsy stunts. So, yeah, I'm beyond excited to see Mission Impossible, The Final Reckoning, on the biggest screen possible in a theater, May 23rd. This summer, the mission is clear. Don't miss it. If you're like me, and I bet you are, there's a kid in your household, for me, it's my daughter, that's always screaming, "Dad, there's a bug. Dad, is that a bug? If there is, get rid of that bug. Dad, that bug is still here. Dad." Happens all the time. Guess what? Not anymore. Thanks to Pesty. Pesty is a do-it-yourself pest control. Same products the pros use at a quarter of the cost. The kit they make, it's so easy, it only takes a few minutes to apply. Other pest control companies charge over $800 a year, but with Pesty, you can get started at just $35 per treatment with a customized plan based on your location, bugs, and climate. Again, Pesty is a do-it-yourself pest control. Take care of those kids and those bugs, and it's kid-friendly and pet-friendly. It's awesome. Pesty offers a 100% bug-free guarantee or your money back. If the bugs don't go away, they'll give you a full refund. Now is the time to protect your home from bugs with Pesty. Go to Pesty.com/Eisen for an extra 10% off your order. That's PESTIE.com/EISEN for an extra 10% off. Back here on the program, and another thing. I even told you during the commercial break to have it ready.
And another thing, Vonnegut.
See, sometimes he can't even focus.
No, but the thing is, you got to like set up when you want. I mean, I didn't know if you were waiting for when Dan was on.
No.
See, this is like, it's like, what are you doing, Rich?
Head on a swivel, Mike. That's all. Just got to be ready.
Come on.
And another thing, I really did show excellent restraint.
Another thing, Vonnegut.
I really did. I really did, because I was, you know, basically, I'll just run you through the beats.
I don't care.
Honestly, when Cat had three fouls, you know, I'm like, Mr. thumb on the scale with the officiating over there. Now, but they never do it for the Celtics. Oh, one big fat thumb. You know, I thought Thibodeau should have challenged the third foul on Cat, because Hart pushed whoever was going to the basket. Oh, I think it was Jaylen Brown. By the Celtics kept on having Jaylen Brown on Cat, and that wasn't going very well at all.
A mismatch.
But then the Knicks kept on switching off in the fourth quarter. Al Horford was guarding everybody.
He was. And he's also 800 years old.
This makes no sense to me.
I love it when he's on the perimeter, because he's still a highly efficient shot blocker.
He can still play.
Well, at any rate, so I was going to go there, but then I was going to start, you know, talking smack. So I just did it to my 14-year-old. Okay. Anyway, I just stayed off it, even though it took you 20 minutes to send me a trolling text yesterday after Dan Wetzel's story hit our text chain.
I mean, technically that was me.
It was 30 seconds. Oh, no, I'm sorry. You were counting me down back to break, Mike. My bad. Because it felt like 30 seconds, you know?
Well, the truth hurts. Okay. And then when you're allowed to,
truth hurts last night, but I'm like,
when
you know
you're
what?
Allowed
it's
to
fresh.
Illegally screen on every it's high fresh. Pick and roll, then you're going to get open shots.
Excellent. Fantastic. I mean, you just got to make them. Just don't miss 45 of them. That's my only two
That's
cents.
That's a lot.
Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. He is one of our favorites for all these years. First time appearing on the show now with ESPN as a senior writer. A man along with Pete Thamel yesterday was letting me and the rest of Wolverines Nation know that Sharon Moore and Michigan is planning to sit the coach out for two games this year based on what happened a couple of years ago. Dan Wetzel back here on the program. How are you, Dan?
I'm doing well. I'm glad to walk into this hornet's nest. Yeah. You know, guys are really...
Yeah.
I guys know. Might need a work counselor or something like that. HR. Yeah. The series may pull you guys apart.
Dan, the problem is Brockman is HR
yeah,
around.
That's
here.
The issue.
Yeah, that's, I'm head of HR, Dan.
But that's so. A larger issue. That's a larger issue.
That's my kind of HR director. Yeah.
That's a larger issue. For another day, let's get to your reporting with Pete Thamel. I'll give you the floor on what you reported yesterday, and I could start following up here, Dan.
All right. Well, Michigan is expected to suspend head coach Sharon Moore two games this upcoming season. Self-imposed suspension of the head coach ahead of the finally NCAA hearing on the Connor Stallions advanced scouting sign stealing situation that happened back in 2023. This stems from a level two violation that the NCAA put on Moore for deleting a text thread between Stallions and himself. He was the offensive coordinator in 2023. The day the story first broke, he deleted that text thread. Now they found the text. You don't really delete anything on your phone. Word to the wise. Don't bother. They're going to find it. And he ends up, he's going to miss two games because he deleted it. If he hadn't, there's nothing incriminating in the text thread, but it was deemed a failure to comply, or that was the allegation. And so he's going to get suspended. Now, the interesting wrinkle, it is games 3 and 4 that Michigan want to suspend him for, not games 1 and 2, which would make kind of more sense to most of us. We don't know exactly why, but the theory is game 2 for the Wolverines is at Oklahoma, where Sharon Moore graduated from and played offensive line. So perhaps he wants to coach at Oklahoma, which would be a great moment for him. And then he'll set out Central Michigan and at Nebraska. Like a good Sooner, he doesn't want to go to Lincoln. So
good one.
Maybe that's it, but that's the two game suspension. That's what the NCAA does not have to accept this, but usually they do.
Well, I mean, I don't know. Michigan self-suspended Jim Harbaugh for three games, and then the Big Ten came in for three more later on in the season. And that's still not enough, I guess, for the NCAA. But you pointed out this is separate from Harbaugh. It has specifically to do with Sharon Moore because he deleted texts, and you already front-loaded the answer to my next
Sorry.
Question. Is what was
yeah.
No, it's fine. It's what was yeah. in it, because it sounds like, oh, he's suspended for two games, or he's going to suspend himself for two games. There must be something incriminating in those texts that he deleted. So we do know what was in those texts. What's to the best of your knowledge, what were in the text that Sharon Moore in that chain with Connor Stallions that he deleted, Dan?
Nothing that indicated that he knew what Connor Stallions was doing is really it. There were things like, hey, don't forget to talk to this recruit. There was, it's really only about 57 text messages over a few years. So it wasn't like they were in constant communication or anything. There were some, hey, this is the blitz package. I think there was something about a blitz package that Michigan State uses or something like that. But again, this would be normal text that an analyst, which I think would best describe Connor Stallion's role, official role, and a coordinator would have, right? Would be, hey, this is what's going on. It was not Sharon Moore saying, hey, make sure you scout the Buckeye game. Send your cousin to the Buckeye game to film the sideline. That did not occur. So there's still no knowledge, no information. And believe me, the NCAA would be all over it if there was, that Sharon Moore knew what Connor Stallions was doing. But this is, again, more of a process crime. This is how these kind of things go in NCAA violations. Now, on that Harbaugh his first three games, you got, you know, Rich, you've been through a lot. You've highs and lows. There's a lot of violations, a lot of cases in Michigan. The first one, three-game suspension was for
the hamburger, the cheeseburger, yeah, right? The cheeseburger. Yeah,
it's called COVID. meeting with recruits during a dead period,
right?
Which has been termed into a cheeseburger by the Michigan fans. You can't meet with recruits when you're not allowed to. It was during COVID, so that was that one. And then the other three were by the Big Ten for the Connor Stallion situation.
Right.
There's a lot of suspensions. Sherrone Moore was suspended before. This is his second suspension. But to your point about the suspensions, Michigan had tried to get a different suspension of four games for Harbaugh, and the NCAA rejected it, wanted six. I don't know where that ended up. Harbaugh is going to get hit on this thing probably with a show cause that he can't coach in college football for a couple of years, which means absolutely nothing. So there, you know, I don't know what penalties are coming for Michigan, but I don't think there's going to be a whole lot more, perhaps, than losing Sherrone Moore for a couple of games, some recruiting restrictions, things like that. We will see, though.
Well, I mean, the irony is that if Sherrone Moore misses the Central Michigan game, Dan, that's the sideline on which Connor Stallion showed up like he was Bobby Valentine trying to sneak back into the dugout, you know, in one of the most comical, if it was funny, situations of this whole thing, that is beyond pathetic with Connor Stallions. And that's kind of where I'm landing, Dan, is at this point in time, when does the NCAA put up or shut up? When does this actually hit? Like, what do you have? Well, instead of Michigan suspending their coach on their own right, making it seem like these 50 some odd texts that he did erase were incriminating, and he must have known. And there's an asterisk to Team 144, despite Charlie Baker, the NCAA president, saying it's fair and square. When does this end? When do we get this is what we've got. This is what you did. This is what you're getting. Now tell us where we're wrong. Otherwise, you shut up and you cough up games or, heaven forbid, for my situation, a banner. Dan, when does that happen?
Well, yeah, Sherrone could go with the Connor Stallion's alleged Connor Stallion's disguise, I guess, and show up on the sideline
that
anyway.
That would be great. I would love that. From a comedy. But other than that,
we don't know where those spy glasses are. Those have never been retrieved. Great moments in college football history. Well, the hearing is going to be June 6th and 7th, I believe, or 7th and 8th, something like that.
Okay.
They will finally have their hearing, and the NCAA will issue punishment after that. You know, will they strip victories? Would they do a future postseason ban? I don't know. Generally speaking, there isn't a lot the NCAA could do anymore in this era of revenue sharing and NIL that really impacts, like even cutting number of, you know, scholarships, right? Your quarterback, Bryce Underwood, is being paid seven figures to go to Michigan. I think he can afford to be a walk-on if necessary, right? They don't need the in-state tuition for Bryce. I think he could cut it. So there's just limitations to what the NCAA can do. I don't know what they're going to come up with. They have not ever found a widespread understanding that Connor Stallions' actions were very far beyond Connor Stallions and a couple other guys in that, maybe a couple other guys in that, in his kind of level. So again, if anything, Sherrone Moore should have never deleted the text because they, in some ways, you know, made him look good, you know, validated that he did not know. So, but this is where we're at. This is how NCAA violations go. They often end up being process crimes. It's really hard to catch anybody doing anything without, you know, real police power, even in the days of electronic communication.
And then the last one on this is what's your expectation level once the hearing is concluded and when we will get an answer from the NCAA that this episode, sorted or otherwise, is over?
Dan? I'd have to re-look at my NCAA policies, but I think it's like within 45 days they'd have a So something before the season. Again, I don't think they're going to strip any title. I don't think any of that stuff will happen. I don't know that they can, that they would have that, but you know, the NCAA can do whatever they want on this. Maybe they make a big statement on it. They don't have a ton of cases anymore. Almost everything's legal, just not this. Mm-hmm. We will see, but we'll see how much Michigan fights back. We'll see whether they can still come in with Sharon Moore and say, no, we don't accept games 3 and 4. We're going to make them games 1 and 2.
Right.
They could say it has to be 4 games. Michigan could always rescind it if, say, they moved it and said, we want to suspend, you know, I don't know. So
sure.
Nothing is set. This is just the plan that Michigan is expected to suspend him as a self-imposed punishment to win some cooperation with the NCAA.
Well, if this is one of those hearings where you can call witnesses, and if this committee feels compelled to strip a title, and I'm Michigan, I call Charlie Baker to the stand. President Baker, what led you to believe that Michigan was winning fair and square if they were going to beat Washington in the national championship game? Your thoughts, sir, and just see what he answers. You know, it's just. Listen, obviously, you know, I come to this conversation with a certain bias, fully admit. My other degree from Northwestern means I need to disclose such things here, although I think it's quite obvious to everybody. But 45 days afterwards, I'm keen to hear the response. Dan, before I let you go, the conversation at the draft in Green Bay was significant over Shedeur Sanders, as you know. Do you have any opinion from the college angle of this as to why Shedeur Sanders wound up a 5th-round selection, even though a lot of folks thought, some evaluators thought he could possibly go top 5? We found out how wrong that was, but your 2 cents on it, Dan?
You know, I'm not an evaluator. I thought Shedeur, so who knows? The Shedeur I saw was a very good college football player, but was not a great one. He took a lot of bad sacks. I don't watch film. I'm not going to sit here and pretend I do all this stuff or know his release or his footwork or anything like that. He took a lot of bad sacks, though, and there were times when I thought he was a good player, but I was very, very surprised when people had him. You know, the draft conversation began and people were talking about it as a top 5 pick, and I was like, well, there's nobody in this draft. This is a reach to me. I just didn't see it. And sometimes you don't see it and you're wrong. And sometimes you don't and you're right. And to me, Shedeur Sanders was more of a mid-level pick. And then I think when you get into those rounds, it can be hard to, you know, spend a 3rd-round pick on a guy. So there's just limited options on it. So I think if his name wasn't Sanders, there wouldn't have been so much hype about it. And then I think, you know, all the other stuff, the Shedeur Sanders I met was incredibly polite and nice, shook everyone's hand, just, you know, for whatever that's worth. But obviously didn't convey that in the meetings and stuff, probably didn't run the draft process very well. Just not a pure talent that I think teams were willing to make that risk on. So did I think he'd go 5th round? Or behind, say, Dylan Gabriel? No, but I wasn't surprised he wasn't a 1st-rounder.
Well, you're definitely not wrong about if his name wasn't Sanders, we wouldn't be discussing it as much. Because Quinn Ewers wound up a 7th-round draft choice, Dan.
Absolutely.
I mean,
the former number one recruit overall, 2 Final Fours in college football. Really made an incredible play to win the Arizona State game. It's definitely kind of surprising he dropped so far. So I'm not sure what they're seeing with him. Also, maybe not the greatest athlete. They're really into athletes now. We've had this discussion before, but like, what? Where would Peyton Manning? How would Peyton Manning be discussed? Well, seriously, he's not mobile. So you say, would he go number one anymore?
Well,
obviously, I think Peyton Manning today's game would still be a Hall of Famer and be one of the greatest of all time. But how would they view Peyton Manning now?
Well, his nephew was front and center at the draft, Dan, in the fact that when Cleveland got a 1 for 2026, the Rams mm-hmm. got a 1 for 2026, that these were two teams looking towards the future. And the future draft, thinking that Arch Manning could be in it. What's your opinion of Arch Manning's Texas tenure and whether it could be one and done as a full-time starter and go into next year's draft as you and I are sitting here in the first week of May.
It could definitely go one and done. I no idea how good he is, but he can run. He's very athletic. And his, you know, his, he says he got it from his mom. His dad was a wide receiver, though. Cooper was a wide receiver. So Arch Manning can run. And I just wonder, he does not play like the hopefully he throws and reads and is as good as his uncle's, but he has a different skill set than they do. So it's going to be really interesting. He's going to be surrounded by incredible talent at Texas this season. They're loaded. And look, if he leads them to deep in the playoffs or wins a national championship, like a lot of people have them preseason number one, yeah, sure, he could be one and done. Absolutely.
All right. And then just your 2 cents on one more draft conversation, Dan, and Travis Hunter, and whether he can play in the pro level the same way that he did in Colorado to win the Heisman Trophy and be the unicorn there. Any thoughts on the way Deion and his staff handled Travis Hunter, meeting room time, either side of the ball, that you think is potentially translatable to the next level? Anything that you observations of Travis Hunter's time in Colorado can give us a little bit of a breadcrumb as to what Jacksonville can pull off here? You think?
I would not recommend playing anybody 100 snaps a game in the NFL. I just, you know, Travis got hurt a bunch, dinged up a bunch, and that's at the college level. This kid's incredible. Incredible player, incredible person that you meet. You know, really interesting guy. Number one recruit in America, chooses to go to Jackson State. Fascinating. And then just sticks with Deion. Obviously, it pans out, wins the Heisman. He could do anything on the field. It's how long can you do it at the NFL level? How many? You're just going to get hit. So I don't know whether you play him partially at both sides or you go one way or the other. I don't know which one he's better. Again, I'm not a talent evaluator, right, but Travis Hunter is awesome. One of the things I liked about Travis Hunter is he would hit you. They didn't throw a ton at him. He could make interceptions. He could break up passes. But there was one game he caused a goal line fumble. He was about business. He would get in there and hit you as a cornerback. And if there was ever a player that you might say, hey, I understand why you're not going to be the most physical corner. I'm not saying he's the most physical, but he was willing to hit guys. You'd say this is the guy who's playing 120 snaps, but he'd get his head in there, his helmet in there, and hit somebody. And so there's just a ton of respect for how that guy played football and how he carried himself throughout his college career.
Me too.
He's legit.
Well, and 100%. And again, it's the brain inside the helmet, Dan, to pull off what he did in college. You got to have that brain. That's why I'm thinking at the pro level, he, you know, obviously it's a different game. I understand it's faster, but the meeting room time, I think he can handle it. I really do. 100%, you know, and in terms of being physical at the goal line, that might be the one thing he didn't pick up from Deion. On where I could say that.
You said it. I don't need prime on me.
I know.
You said
that. That's Rich Eisen. I could say it. Dan, thanks for the time, sir. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Talk to you soon.
ESPN senior writer Dan Wetzel here on the Rich Eisen Show. Hi, Prime. In the NFL, there is no margin for error. As you know, one mistake can change the outcome of an entire game. That's the same thing about your life and making sure you get the proper sleep so you get done in your day exactly what you want because you're focused and you have everything in order. And the people who can help you do that are our friends at Sleep Number. Their mission is to provide the players of the NFL and you with data and insights to optimize your sleep for the ultimate competitive edge. Don't just take my word for it. How about 95% of the Los Angeles Rams? They've got a Sleep Number bed. 80% of the Kansas City Chiefs, they have a Sleep Number bed. 90% of the Vikings have a Sleep Number bed. You should have a Sleep Number bed. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70, just 10 numbers apart, but it means the world of difference because we can adjust our side of the bed to the exact firmness that we want and allows for working out or recovery. It's game-changing. So if you're in the market for a new bed, you should stop at a Sleep Number store right now. See your store or sleepnumber.com for details. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can also test your battery for free, in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you find just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fixed, or a quick service? Well, they'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. I know, because it's happened to me. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. You're the perfect person to ask this, Bill Burr. Why do New England fans act so miserable? Why must you be...
I didn't know that we did.
Oh, stop. Unhappy in order to be happy. You don't think so? No, I don't think so.
I think that's everybody's reaction to the jealousy of wanting to live through what we've lived through in the last 15 years. Because people always say stuff. Yeah, they say stuff like, don't you get sick of winning? Don't you? You're sick of it, right? Isn't it like boring? It must be like boring because that's all they have. No, it's awesome. I hope it continues. And I've enjoyed every second of it. And when it's over... You know, it's going to be over.
Well, I mean, this guy over there, Brockman, with his Red Sox cap over there. Do you have the David Price sound that where he was bitching about David Price after the Yankees beat him up in, what was that, game two? Play it. Go for it for Bill Burr.
I want him to quit. I want him to retire on the spot.
Yeah, he's not going to do
that. I didn't go that
That's
hard.
What I want. He was terrible.
Part of you, so furious at David Price.
I'm so furious.
But you were kind of feeling good, though. Like, you're getting it off your chest. Like, you couldn't
It was
have been,
therapeutic,
see,
but
that's
like,
what I'm saying. That's what, what's with, is there something about
name another York? Sports fan that sees their guy?
I don't know. Just like, maybe I'm just a much more sunny disposition type guy.
Were you screaming at Harbaugh?
This is about him. This is about how great he is. Oh, now I see where this is going. I was confused.
No.
You know, Rich, okay, you spoon fed it to me. I want to tell you something, Rich. Out of all the sports shows I go on, I think you are the nicest, most even-keeled, pleasant, respectful to other fan base.
No, I just think it goes back to like the Tea Party. You know, it goes all the way back to like, you don't feel represented. You feel like you're taxed. You feel like a taxed
you feel
sports
it? Do you
fan.
You feel the jealousy?
Oh, don't you love that?
You haven't been represented in the sports universe.
It's always great when I have another teammate come into studio because I'm teamed up against 2-on-1 with the New York.
Don't you hate any time like there's a big Boston game? What they show, they always show like lighthouses, lobster fishermen, and Paul Revere like, oh yeah, that's Massachusetts. I never saw any of that growing up. I didn't have any lobster fishermen friends. I never went to a lighthouse, and I never went to the Freedom Trail. I never did it. I've seen the line painted on the sidewalk. You know, who goes to a tourist attraction in your own city?
Exactly.
You only do it when relatives come to town.
Oh, like, do you want to go?
I want to go to the USS Constitution. Oh, do you?
Here's where Cheers
you
is.
Want to stand in line down there? Well, have a great time. I'm going to go to a dive bar. Where do you want to go next? You want to go to Cheers?
Yeah.
Just to let you know, it doesn't look like that when you go inside. So just take a picture outside.
If Ted Danson's not there.
Yeah, you want to get some chowder? I hate clam chowder. It's disgusting. It tastes like somebody already ate it and then spit it back into the bowl. Looks the same way.
We got to reel that up and put it on Instagram.
He's wrong about clam chowder. It's delicious.
Yeah, clam chowder is amazing.
That is one of my favorite exchanges.
Oyster crackers.
And then when he was here last time, what did he call me? He called me out on something. What did he call me out on? It was the NFL.
Bill was like dancing around the game being rigged
fixed,
for the Chiefs.
Right. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that he, he had serious Chiefs fatigue.
Yeah.
Right?
Well.
He wasn't dancing around.
He wasn't alone.
Well, then the Eagles came in and blew that theory to smithereens. Smithereens.
They let him lose one.
Well, what about the 18 other games?
It was 34-0 in the Super Bowl.
I know.
It was 34-0.
It's crazy.
By the way, for the Eagles, I might add.
Oh, do ya.
Hyundai is more than just a car company, folks. It's a brand driven by a bold mission and a trunk full of positive energy. But their mission goes beyond the road itself. Hyundai is committed to improving the journey of life for everyone in every way they can. With that in mind, Hyundai's Hope on Wheels focuses on raising awareness and funding for pediatric cancer. As one of the leading nonprofit pediatric cancer charities in America, Hyundai's Hope on Wheels funds innovative research in children's oncology and partners with doctors, researchers, and medical institutions nationwide. You all know my personal passion for work of St. Jude. That's why I'm proud to share that Hyundai has consistently been donating and providing grants to St. Jude Children's Research Hospital for 13 years and has awarded over $3 million. This is just one of 175 prominent medical institutions across the nation receiving funds from Hyundai Hope on Wheels. Hyundai, doing what's right for people through actions, not words. So we just spoke to Dan Wetzel of ESPN, wanted his perspective from the collegiate aspect of what happened with Shedeur Sanders. And it, listen, the whole thing still, it's just the weirdest draft I've ever seen. And that, again, involves Laramie Tunsil having a Pineapple Express gas mask on and getting hosed by somebody who put a bunch of DMs out there. But that lasted one day. Honestly, we had the page turned in that Chicago draft the next day because that was just a night one situation. And Shedeur Sanders' draft lasted 3 days. Unreal. And left him in a spot for a team that had six shots at drafting him. It didn't. Had a fifth round pick at taking him. Didn't then use their last pick to move up in the fifth round to end their draft by taking him. And one of the shots that they had to take him, they drafted Dylan Gabriel instead. So, I mean, you're hearing like, hey, the Browns were trying to move up to the fourth round to take him. Oh, really? Because you had a fifth round pick you didn't use on him. So you clearly couldn't have moved up into the fourth. Well, the value was so great. You didn't take him the first shot you had to take him in the round you actually took him. Nuts.
It's weird.
But as you know, that's just hopefully for Shedeur and the Browns, a footnote. Unless Dylan Gabriel's the guy. Unless Kenny Pickett is the guy. Because Joe Flacco, as we all know, is not the guy for the Browns long term. Because he's long in the tooth. But now that their numbers have been assigned, it's officially a competition. That's the first step. You're drafted, then you choose your number. And Shedeur has chosen Tom Brady's number.
Oh, look at that. Or he was assigned that number.
I don't know.
Why wouldn't he take two?
Because two has already been assigned. And the last thing you're going to do when you show up to a spot like this is say, I want a certain number. And that number's already taken in the wide receiver room, I might add. And Shedeur's got 12. Dylan Gabriel's got 5. Pickett has 8, I believe. And Joe's keeping 15. He's getting it back. And it's amazing. The guy who isn't the answer long term is 100% the guy that's going to be on the roster out of these four. Hey, folks. Flacco's making this team unless he is completely fallen apart at the seams. Because he's a guy that Kevin Stefanski can look at and say, you don't need the reps. I'm sure they've already seen him throw. You don't need the reps. We'll give you some reps. Because, I mean, obviously, you know, you can't just come off the couch and wait a minute. Okay, you can. He's done that. That was 2 years ago, though.
Is he going to start a preseason game, you think?
No. I wouldn't start him a preseason game.
No?
Mm-mm. When you got to start, I mean, you've seen what he can do. You know what he's going to do unless he's just completely lost
it. He's 40. We don't know if he can move.
It's true.
But he's not going to start the season, one would think, unless somebody like Pickett or a rookie completely doesn't win it. Then he will start the season and you'll see it. Then you'll move on. But if you got two rookies around there, you want somebody like Flacco to have them see and what's up.
Yep.
And if he's so willing to impart wisdom, then so be it. But the competition has begun because the first step has taken place, and that's choose your number or have it assigned. You know?
Yeah, DeAndre Carter is wearing number 2.
There you go. And could you imagine Shedeur's like, hey, I've got all this NIL money, DeAndre. Let me get 2. I got to have two. I got to have my number for this competition. What a misstep that would be. Do you know what an absolute media feeding frenzy there would be? Just take a look at what's going on with Abdul Carter and his number. That he asked LT apparently for 56.
Not going well.
And
for
LT basically told him, do you know who I am? Google me. You're not just the videos. Okay. Pound sand with 56. And then 11 is a famous number in Penn State lore. Micah Parsons wears it for the Giants. Phil Sims has that number
for
retired for the Giants. And apparently Phil was like, you know what? I'll give it to you, you know, if you earn it. You know, you got to play hard and then you can have my 11. And his family apparently said, no, Dad. This is a legacy that we're thrilled for you. Yeah. And we're happy to have our children and our children's children say, that's grandpa. That's great grandpa.
Pretty generous by Phil, though.
But Phil apparently put it up for a vote and it got vetoed by the Sims family. And in New York, everyone's like, okay, kid, you're great. We're excited to have you, but what are you doing? Like, choose your number, make your own legacy. So you imagine if Shedeur Sanders said, I need my two. I need my two, and I got the money to pay for it.
Probably would have been a smart business decision by DeAndre Carter to take that deal.
Absolutely.
But Shedeur.
Anything that Shedeur does, if he just twitches or breathes in the direction of being focused on something other than winning this job and winning a roster spot and being as humble as it possibly can be for anybody in the history of humility or humbleness, which is my nickname from Dion.
Wait till those
as
practices.
The humble host, it would
those
be
practices
an
are gonna be
absolute feeding frenzy.
Just looking at the Giants roster, I'm trying to see what's available. Four is available. Seven.
Seven's a
where in Cleveland you're talking?
No, just Giants.
Oh, for the Giants. Yeah. I don't know, man.
Or Abdul.
Who knows? He can wear four one day and seven another day because that equals 11, his number he wanted. I don't know. It's crazy, man.
10 is Eli. That's obviously another.
Yeah.
11, but 12's available.
I don't know. But just go take the number and just build your own legacy.
Yeah.
But, okay. You got the Shedeur 6, right? the Shedeur 5?
Shedeur 5.
Okay,
I think, right?
The Brady 6, and now he's wearing Brady's number.
Former MLB All-Star Sean Casey, a.k.a. The Mayor, keeps hitting it out of the park.
Take my 30 years of experience. Take the wisdom and knowledge I've learned from the failures when I got sent down my rookie year, all the injuries I had to overcome. Your mind is the most important tool you have in life. Be relentless. Keep charging. It matters how you talk to yourself, how you look at the world. That matters. We talk about that. I don't know. I'm fired up. Baseball's back, and it's going to be incredible. I love it.
The Mayor's Office with Sean Casey from Believe.
Follow and listen on your favorite platform.